It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today to study God's precious Word. We're going to be in the 19th chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 6, Genesis chapter 19, verse 6, and we're going to read through the 29th verse. And so please that you open your Bibles and prepare for the study today, and I hope that you're able to do that. I hope that you can, you're not driving, and if you are driving, please just sit and listen and enjoy it. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to visit us at our website, you will find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and be ready to follow as we read today. Genesis chapter 19, beginning to read with the 6th verse. Genesis chapter 19, verse 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, wast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out, and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape in the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Wast thou escape thither? For I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. And the sun was risen up on the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and towards all the plain, the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's Word. Father, I thank you for your truth. I thank you that we can have it close to us, and we can enjoy it, study it. And please, Lord, you will guide and lead us now as we enjoy this study today. I just hope, Father, and pray that all that are listening will listen ever so carefully to the words that are spoken. And I hope, Father, that every word that I speak be clear and certain and for sure your words. So please, Lord, help me today to teach your word clearly and properly and truthfully that all can hear and your spirit can do a work in each one of our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we go back to the beginning of this now, we have a time that that Lot is back in Sodom and Gomorrah, as we've said in the past. You know, he had a couple of opportunities to see the wickedness of that city, but he chose not to. He just kind of stayed in it. And that's a sad case. And we have several things here. We talked about him preparing the food and not calling for his wife to help him to do it. And we've also discussed, just started the discussion a little bit here, as Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him. Now, what has taken place, if you'll remember, Lot was at the gate of the city. That kind of told us that the position that he held. And so now that he was is in the city council, so to speak, and so they were there present taking care of business. And here comes these three visitors at this time, the two angels. He knew immediately that they were of difference from what normally comes through the gate. He recognized them, and he brought them immediately into his house. They didn't want to. Not that they wanted to be out amongst the wickedness, but they were there to judge the city. And so it wasn't their place to come, and Lot thought, boy, if I can hide it from the Lord. You know, that's a kind of a common thing today, isn't it? We'll hide it from the Lord. And Lot tried to do that. He tried to hide his lifestyle and his ways from the Lord. He said, you just come in come into my house. I will prepare this wonderful feast for you. Please come in. And so they came in, and he sat down. He prepared the meal, and they ate. And then it was about time to turn in. It was about time to go to bed. And boy, Lot thought he had everything in order, because if he can get them to lay down and to go to sleep now, and then I'll get them up real early in the morning before the people of the city even know these strangers are here, I will get them in and out and nobody will know the difference. This is going to work. I know it is. That's in Lot's mind. Well, about that time, let's back up here to verse 5 and even verse 4, I think, needs to be maybe read before we continue. But before they lay down, before they went to bed, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Word had gotten out, hadn't it, that these were visitors in the city. And they were something that was new, and boy, that's something that excited these men, and that's a very, very sad statement. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. That's how sick and perverted these men are. They did not want women. They wanted other men. That's how sick this world is becoming. And if you call it just that's their another lifestyle, well, it is another lifestyle, but it is a wicked lifestyle. And so please, as you look at these verses of Scripture, and if you're involved in that kind of a lifestyle and think it's just another lifestyle, well, you're right with that statement. But if you think in any way, shape, or form God is pleased with that lifestyle, you are sadly, sadly mistaken. And you will be held in judgment for it. Now, you've got to come by faith to Jesus Christ to be saved. And so I'm going to ask you to do that, because you know you can even be in that sin and still come by faith to Jesus Christ, but you can't stay in that sin because God won't let you. And so as you are convicted of that sin after you're saved, I understand why you're not convicted now. You're not saved. And this old world is getting so perverted that it just doesn't make much difference what you do or what you say or how you live. But when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, it does make a difference, because you have the Holy Spirit within you. And you are either going to turn and begin to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, one step at a time, precept by precept, little bit upon little bit as you learn, or He's going to take you home, because He is not going to tolerate that kind of action very long if you're truly a believer. So don't tell me you're saved and you've lived in that kind of a lifestyle. Don't tell me you're saved and God doesn't have a problem with it, because He does. He's got a serious problem with it, and His wrath will be upon you. So you listen carefully. You come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you trust in Him today. Please do that. And then begin this wonderful walk and this wonderful change of your life, because you see, you're born again. You're made new, and it begins. Well, the sad thing here, Lot was living amongst this unhealthy lifestyle, these unhealthy actions. He was right smack dab in the middle of them. Shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have raised his family there. Lot was a terrible leader, but he was still a believer. Now, we just said that if you involve yourself in that lifestyle. Now, Lot was not involved in it. He was in the middle of it, but he wasn't involved in it. At least that we can see here. And so you need to understand that. But it does show you that if you, you know, so what? If you are keeping yourself self-separated to an extent away, what's happened to your family? They were so exposed to this filth that the family was taken right into it. And we notice how many got out here, as we have already read. Now let's look to see what's happening here. The men of the town found out. The men of the town showed up to the door. And we find Lot went out of the door unto them in verse 6 and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs to be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Look at the condition of these men. Look at what's going on here. Isn't this, look at the wicked lifestyle of these men. And look how far Lot had moved. He knew these were men of God. He knew that these were men that had come with the Lord, and he could not allow that to happen to them. He couldn't do it. And so he turned and he had two virgin daughters that had never known a man. So you see, Lot was trying to do what was right. We're not really told the age, but we know very shortly that they were the age of childbearing. And so they were to the age that they would begin to find the man that they should live with forever and get married. and begin to have children. But instead of that, they were kept. They were both virgin daughters, so Lot had managed somehow to keep these two daughters safe. But he was willing in a moment to give them up. Isn't that something? When it came right to it here, he thought he could hide all this from God. Well, all of a sudden now it's all falling apart because God knows all about it. And God's beginning to bring it all to light to Lot to show him. And all of a sudden, Lot's beginning to make some terrible decisions. Take these girls. Take my daughters. Please just do whatever you want to with them. But please don't touch these men. Don't have them. And they said again, stand back. And they were going to take care of Lot. Lot, if we have to kill you, we will do whatever needs be to you. We will abuse you and misuse you and probably murder you because we'll do that. And then we're going to do the same thing to these men, only it said that I'm going to do worse to you. And so look at all the terrible things that's going on here that should have never went on. This whole part of the scripture wouldn't even be here. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know if would ever been listed in the scripture if it had not been for a bad decision for Lot to live there. Now, how do you live? What's your lifestyle? Are you in the middle of this world and all your friends are folks that smoke and drink and everything, and you don't seem to have any problem with that, and all of a sudden you're raising your children, they're being exposed to this? Well, I guarantee you what's going to happen, because they're going to love the world, and you're going to have a tough time getting them out of it because you were too close to it. Separate yourself from the world. Now, here we have all this going on. And about that time that they were about to break the door down in verse 9, but the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And so these two men that had traveled in, that were bringing judgment down upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, they grabbed a hold of Lot, yanked him back into the house, and then they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. They couldn't see. They couldn't see where they were. And so, you know, when we have the Tower of Babel, when that took place and God, confounded the languages, mixed up all the languages, construction stopped. Everything stopped because they couldn't communicate. Well, it's kind of the same way a lot of times with blindness. You know, when you're blind, you kind of stop doing what you're doing because you can't see. You can't tell where you're at. And that's what these men had done to the men of the city. These two men that had come had put a blindness upon the men of the city. And the men said to Lot, this is verse 12, "Wast thou here any besides?" Lot, how many family members do you have? And he said, and they said then, "The son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out to this place." Okay, now let's look here just a minute, let's go ahead and continue, because it says son-in-law, but when you get on into the 14th verse, we find it to be sons-in-law. "And we will destroy this place," verse 13, "because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which were married to his daughters." Now let's back up again to verse 13, verse 12. Remember what the bargaining power that Abraham, when he was standing before the pre-incarnate Christ, before the Lord Jesus, when he was standing before him, and they started at 50 and he ended at 10. Do you remember that? And so Abraham thought sure that Lot and his family would have 10 righteous. What did the Lord say he would do if there were 10 righteous in the city? He would spare the city. He would not destroy it. So we know by the action that's taking place, we know that there are more than 10, there are less than 10 believers in the city, because God is following through with his destruction, with his judgment upon this city, these cities. And so, but let's count here. Why did Abraham think that there was at least 10? We have Lot. Now that would be 2, Lot and his wife. Now we have the sons-in-law, according to the 14th verse, we know it's plural, sons-in-law, so there is 2, and then we have those two married daughters, and so that's 2, 4, so we're to 6, Now thy sons, plural, that's 8, and thy daughters, remember the two virgin daughters, that's 10. And so the immediate family, just counting the sons-in-law, is the only addition to the family. Abraham was sure that they were all saved. And surely there'll be more. There can't just be just that few that's saved. But when the truth come, when reality arrived, we found that there was less than 10 that were saved. Let's see what took place here as Lot now goes out to bring his family together to get them out from this judgment. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Where was Lot? Lot was at the gate. Lot was involved with the government. Lot was active in the city. What kind of testimony did Lot give to his sons-in-law? What kind of testimony did he give them? Did he give them a testimony that if we live in this wicked city and if we partake of the things of this wicked city, God will judge us? And judgment is sure to come. And then say to his sons-in-law, we need to depart from this city. Even prior to the Lord arriving, they should have been out of that wicked city. As that city's wickedness continued to grow, the evidence should have been so strong and clear to Lot and to his family that he would have taken all that would listen and leave. But instead of that, Lot chose to stay. And this terrible testimony then that Lot carries with him when he come to say that the Lord will destroy this city, that meant nothing to the sons-in-law. They didn't believe it at all. They didn't believe the judging hand of God was going to come, that judgment was going to come. And you know, today it's the same way in this land. People don't believe, don't give it a thought that God will ever judge this land. He just don't believe it's going to happen. Don't believe that the end of the world will ever come. They don't believe that there's ever going to be a battle of Armageddon. They don't believe that God will judge this city. God will judge this country. God will judge this world. And unless you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, Lot did. Unless you know Jesus Christ and your Savior, you have no hope. Because judgment will come. Will it come in your lifetime, in my lifetime? We have no idea. But I'll tell you what, for as fast as this world is moving towards the wickedness and doing the wickedness that Sodom and Gomorrah was doing at this time, and we're looking at 4,000 years ago. You know, it was about 1900 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born is when we're talking about here in Genesis. And we're 2,000 years on the other side. So see, we're very close to 4,000 years has passed. But you know, as time progressed, people never thought that God would ever judge Sodom and Gomorrah. They didn't care. The sons-in-laws are evidence of that. They did what? It says, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Lot, what are you talking about? We've never heard you talk about this before, Lot. Why are you worried about it now? This God you're talking about, who's that? You see, that's the kind of testimony Lot had. Is that the kind of testimony you have? All of a sudden, while your sons and your daughters are starting to be so actively involved in the world, and you'd get anything to protect them and keep them from that world, but you see, you were such a part of the world all the time that when you say to them, I think it's time to go to church, you know, you need to trust in Jesus as your Savior, and they look at you as a crazy man because they don't have any idea what you're talking about because you did not testify to them from the very start when they were born, how important it was to be a believer and how important it was to serve God and praise God and honor God. You never did that. And you know, that's a sad case because Lot right here, oh, he would have given anything to get his life back and to snatch his family out of here. Nobody listened. Nobody paid any attention. They even mocked him. And while he lingered, the 16th verse says, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. Now, why is that all that the the angels grabbed a hold of. It's because that's all that's there. We don't know where the sons are at. We don't know where the married daughters are at. We don't know where the sons-in-laws are at. We just know they stayed in the city and they were destroyed with the city because they did not believe Lot as he come. You can't expect people to believe you in a minute when your lifestyle, when everything you do is worldly. And then all of a sudden you decide that, hey, it's time to start saying something right, start to do something right, and they won't believe you. You best get started now. Not wait till the last minute, not wait till those balls of fire are coming from heaven and destroying this land, never to be seen again. You best be ready. So you better be prepared now. Be prepared. While he lingered, he didn't want to go. Did he not want to go because he didn't really believe God was going to destroy it? Did he not want to go because he didn't want to leave his family? We're not sure. Just he lingered back. And the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful upon him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest thou be consumed. They brought him out of the city. They were going to return and hand judgment and call for judgment down upon this world, upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, upon all the wickedness was there. All those men that found themselves blinded, were they still blinded by the time this took place? I don't know, but it sure didn't matter. I would say they probably received their sight by this time because they would see the destruction as it was taking place. And I'll tell you what, you think of that being an awful time and an awful way to die, as the heat, the terrible heat as the fire and brimstone came down from heaven. But that's nothing compared with what hell's going to be like, with what the lake of fire is going to be like. That's nothing to compare with what the lake of fire for eternity will be like. This was short-lived, but right now, they're in the place of torment, just awaiting that call, awaiting the time for this world to come to an end. And then we'll have a 7 years of tribulation. When the church is raptured, after that will be 7 years of tribulation. Following that will be 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then is when they will be taken from the place of torment where they abide now, and then they will be placed into the lake of fire. Their spirits are just in the place of torment, but their bodies will be raised as corrupt and filthy and dirty as they are. They'll be raised, put back together with that soul, and then cast into the lake of fire. That's what you have to look forward to if you neglect Jesus Christ. Please, that you look to come today. Don't wait. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the cross of Calvary. Look at His saving power. Look at the power and the strength and the opportunity, the free gift that He has given you. Please look, and look clearly and look carefully, and don't miss this free gift. He's handing it to you right now. The cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Will you please come by faith? Meet Jesus at the cross where He took your sin away. But unless you accept this free gift, it's not a universal salvation. It's a decision needs to be made, and it's a personal decision that you need to make. Can't be made by anybody else. It's just you. You need to come by faith to Jesus Christ. You need to call upon Him, and you need to trust Him today. Please, bow your head now and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. This is a terrible time in Lot's life, having to hide the men, and then offering his daughters because, oh, this would be better than the men. There's so much going on in Lot's life. And then when Lot got ready, they had to lay hold on him and bring him, his wife, and his two daughters out. Otherwise, they would still be there. They would have died in it. But God promised. God takes those out before judgment comes. And that's exactly what's going to happen with the rapture of the church. God will take us out, those that believe, and remove us before judgment begins. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?